Final hour. It's upon us. Welcome in on this Wednesday. Hope you're feeling right, living well. Hope you're ready to get into some good football conversation over the next hour. Will Compton of Bussin' with the Boys will join us coming up next for our weekly installment. In the meantime, we've been talking about the Titans, left side of the offensive line, which is ironic because you just heard the Titans update with Mike Keith and Ramon Foster. And so why don't we stick right there? We're also going to spend some time on Jadeveon Clowney and Bud Dupree, an interesting statistical comparison that came out about those two from one of the people at Pro Football Focus, and we will debate the merits of such statistics here in just a second. But in the meantime, Bubba has been waiting patiently because our conversation about Taylor Lewan and the left side of the offensive line and how things have kind of spiraled from an injury standpoint, Saffold being a bit banged up and Aaron Brewer having to come back in, and the interior having some moments where they didn't look great, but ultimately rebounding and finding ways to make Derrick Henry, you know, outside of Derrick Henry willing himself to be the difference in that game, three touchdowns in the second half. The offensive line, as far as run blocking was concerned, was substantial, was a big part of that success. But this conversation about Taylor Lewan, who returns to practice today after tweaking his knee, which is good, inherently a good thing for the Titans, for any of you.
In case there's any confusion.
I mean, what? It's just one of the stupidest things that I've ever heard. We don't need him. He's like, when he's totally healthy, he's like a top five player. He is a top five player on your team. And anybody who believes otherwise is completely asinine. And that includes Julio and Derek and Jeffrey Simmons and Ryan Tannehill. All of it. Like, it's just dumb to think that way. Let me say this. I'm not saying that you're dumb if you think that way. I'm just saying you're displaying the behavior of someone who might be dumb, which is about as polite as I can be about that. So let's go to Bubba, who's been waiting patiently. He's in Dixon. He wants to talk about Taylor Lewan. What's up, Bubba?
All right. Well, then I'll say it. No, you are an idiot if you think we don't need Taylor Lewan. Or that his beliefs or everything that he does or he's ready for his podcast. I mean, I get it when he had that little tweet week one. I figured he was trying to get a guest on the show. You know, but, man, he just got back from his knee, and I've been there. His knee is gone, and he's trying. It's a mental thing. But do you think, Buck, that seeing that Carson Wentz, he's got two, I don't know, he's got Forrest Gump leg. You know, he's got two ankles that are hurt. But,
Yeah. But
do you see that, would it be easier to let Taylor kind of be in the backup role for a little bit just to keep on kind of inching back in instead of just 100%, basically keeping him from himself and trying to go in and do all that? Because I think that's what's causing the tweaks, and that's what's causing – it's a mindset thing too. I mean, those guys are getting pushed on all the time, and you just can't recreate that. But putting him in slowly, the next few weeks, he will have the opportunity. The Titans are going to win. I don't really care what anybody says. They're going to win.
Okay.
Performance on the second half, we're good. So just let him – and same thing with Bud Dupree, man. These injuries that need to just – you got to get the reps in as you're doing contact with each other. Wouldn't you limit his reps and just say, you know what, dude, let me help you and keep you from yourself? Would that be a better idea for Taylor?
You know, I think that's an interesting concept, Bubba, and I appreciate the call, right? Because that's kind of the way that they approached – now, Dupree is different because Dupree practiced literally every day after he was activated off the PUP list.
And his was a week 12 ACL.
His was a later in the season injury. Lewan, it was 6 weeks later than Taylor Lewan. So, and it's difficult when you got two guys because you want to immediately do the one-to-one comparison. And it's just not possible, right? Because, I mean, all of our bodies, we're all physically different from one another, even if there are similar things. Even if the injury itself is similar. But, you know, that's kind of what they tried to do throughout the course of the offseason, right? They managed Lewan's workload. Now, to a great amount of criticism after they looked the way that they did in week one because of the way that they had managed everybody's workload. But with Taylor, you know, they've been through this before. And Mike Vrabel, it's about availability, first and foremost. And I think that the Jack Conklin experience from 2018 with Mike Vrabel probably taught him a lot about how he as a head coach wants to manage guys and manage their return from injury. Because it did feel like, and I don't blame Mike or the training staff or John Robinson or anybody for putting Jack Conklin back out there before he was ready, coming off his own ACL issue. But it did feel like that was a similar circumstance, right? Where Jack was out there and Jack struggled mightily at the start of the season, had some stuff pop back up again, and then Dennis Kelly comes in and he looks like the better option on the right side. And we all have the same conversation about, oh, Jack Conklin, he's not good enough. He's not right. Get him out of there. Dennis Kelly is better. The backup is always the better player, right? Because you want what you don't. You want what's not out there already, and you just immediately assume that what's behind it is an upgrade. Now, in Dennis's case, Dennis was always a solid option, more so on the right side than the left side, but Dennis was able to perform in that swing role at a high level, and credit to Dennis Kelly in that regard. But they experienced that same kind of uncertainty with Conklin throughout the course of his season coming back from an ACL tear as well, where they put him out there initially, he played poorly, he struggled, and then they put Dennis back out there. They put Conklin on the shelf for a while, and then when they brought Conklin back the second time, he was a much better version of himself. And in fact, Jack Conklin was killing dudes in that 19 run as well. So I understand the logic. I think if the medical staff is telling Vrabel that Lawan's green lit to go, then they'll probably put him back out there. But it's as much about Taylor being mentally prepared for not being capable of doing all of the things that he's used to being capable of doing, right? Taylor Lewan, rightfully so, believes himself to be a top 10 offensive tackle in the league. He is when he's at his best. But this is the first time that he's had this kind of an injury. He's talked about this on Bussin' with the Boys before, where he said, yeah, I had my wisdom teeth pulled a couple of years ago, but other than that, this has been it for me. So he's going to have to come to terms with that as well, that there might be a little bit of a diminished skill set to him because of what happened to him a year ago. It's completely understandable. Jeff Simmons is the exception to the rule. He's not the standard, right, where Simmons tears his ACL right before the combine, gets out there in early October in his rookie year and gets his first career sack in his first game, right? That's not how this normally goes. I think that there is some interesting, I think if the training staff clears him, Bubba, to put it in shorter terms, they'll get Taylor Lewan out there. But there also has to be this kind of recognition. There also has to be this kind of recognition as to, okay, what am I capable of physically right now that under normal circumstances I may not be able to do if everything is right. So we've got this audio of him talking about what went wrong for him being Taylor Lewan. We've got this audio of what went wrong for Lewan against Arizona, and this is what the left tackle had to say.
I don't know how much of a factor it was. I think I put too much in the game. I got too excited. I kind of maybe like got a little over excited before the game, and when the game came I felt drained and legs felt heavy and had more anxiety. I was more worried about messing up than I was being better, or helping the team. And I think I was trying to compensate in a certain couple of ways for my knee, and I've spent a long time in this league and have had a lot of success. And through those things, like year two with Whitney Mercilus having a similar game, it's something that I have to overcome and work through. And I plan on doing those things. So, it's not easy. It's a tough 24 hours, but you got to get over it and move on and hopefully play better next week.
So that's Taylor Lewan last week at the fence line talking about, what went wrong for him against Arizona. And I think there is a degree of, of trying to consolidate your thoughts or your mental abilities at that moment. Consolidate's not the word that I'm looking for, but you basically have to remove yourself from the situation. The athlete's mindset, and Will Compton is going to be able to speak to this because this is what the latest Bussin' with the Boys episode is about. athletes and their mental approach to the game. Whereas as an athlete, and I don't speak to this as an athlete myself, but I've worked with them enough, I've covered them enough to understand how they go through their thought process, they always have the utmost belief in self, sometimes to their detriment, where the standard that they have for themselves in their heads is higher than what they're physically able to do at that given moment. They constantly have, you have to have that belief, that confidence, to be able to perform in any sense. But your body may not be up to speed, up to the same kind of speed as your mindset is. And so when that kind of, when you recognize that disparity, how do you kind of rebalance? How do you find center once again? And that's kind of the place where Taylor Lewan is in. Will Compton's going to be able to give us good context on this coming up next. He joins us every Wednesday for our Bussin' with the Boys segment. So we'll talk about that with Taylor. We'll take your phone calls as well. I'll tell you about this Jadeveon Clowney, Bud Dupree statistic that has been dug up by PFF that is going to intrigue you as a Titans fan, and then you'll probably dismiss it outright because it's pretty silly. But we'll get to all of that on the other side. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone. All right. He's in the building. Well, he's not in the building. He's driving around Nashville somewhere, fresh off a workout. It's Will Compton, Bussin' with the Boys. New episodes available to you now. Subscribe, rate, review, wherever it is that you get your podcasts. Will joins us every Wednesday, courtesy of All American Pest Control. Plans as low as $39 a month. Visit yuckbugs.com. We must start with congratulations, because I hear that the future Wilma Earl Compton will be gracing the planet Earth. So very happy for you and Charo on the announcement that you guys are going to have a baby girl soon.
Thank you, Buck. I appreciate that. You know, before we go, I just want to appreciate you for bringing me on. I always have a lot of fun on this thing. It feels like I'm in the building because that's just the type of energy that I bring. I bring that BD, and it feels like I am in-house with you. So I'm excited to be on, excited to see what kind of questions and polls you might have for me today.
No, well, you mocked the polls when last you commented on the polls. So I don't know if you can go there with that kind of disrespect, given that that's the last way that you assaulted my content.
Yeah, well, you know, I felt like it had to be done. Anytime I pull out my Twitter app to see what's going on, obviously I follow and engage with you a lot, so you're always at the top of my feed, and it's just always some damn poll. Oh, sorry. Sorry, Lucas.
You can say damn, it's fine. Listen, here's what I don't want to do with you. I don't want to tell you that you can use certain words and then you forget which words you can use.
I appreciate the effort there. I appreciate that.
He just immediately launches into apologies. Oh, so sorry. Well, better than your boy Rashawn. Rashawn dropped the S-bomb 8 times on morning radio yesterday.
No way. That's awesome. I love that.
Yeah, well, our bosses didn't, so let's try to avoid that today with Will Compton. So let's start with the episode first and foremost, because this is going to lead us into the larger portion of our conversation today. You had a pretty interesting guest on, a 3-time champion world collegiate wrestler in his weight class, Spencer Lee, who I had not heard of until I listened to the episode and did a little research on him. He's got an incredible story. His latest accomplishment came on 2 torn ACLs, and I guess, how did you find out about him, and how long did it take you to get over the fact that he wrestles for the University of Iowa, which of course you hate?
Yeah. So when the NCAAs happened this past year, I saw his interview going viral. I was watching some of the matches in the finals with my brother growing up and being a wrestler. It's always been kind of fun watching those matches. And then I saw his interview going viral, and it was an Iowa guy. So obviously I'm always bantering back and forth with George Kittle. So I wanted to give credit where credit's due. The dude won a national title on 2 torn ACLs, his most recent ACL. One, it had already happened his sophomore year, and he just never got it fixed. The other one, the latest one, he tore it 8 days before winning that NCAA title match. We get into his protocols and everything he did leading up to wrestling in the NCAA tournament. Now, mind you, he had to win matches to make it to the finals and continue to win the NCAAs on a recently torn ACL. And I was just baffled at the savagery by Spencer Lee. So I wanted to get him on the bus because, one, we hadn't had a collegiate athlete on. And two, like, I'm fascinated with wrestling. I grew up doing it a little bit. I quit. My mental's not where my brother's was. My brother was very successful at wrestling, and I've just always liked it. I felt like the pod needed a little change up with a wrestler on there.
No, it was a unique conversation. I'm glad that you chose to go that route. Before we talk about Spencer and like kind of that mindset, because I watched the interview, the post match interview that went viral, and the man is clearly insane at what he does, and I can't imagine approaching it that way. But what is it about? At what point did you know that wrestling was not the future pursuit for you? Because I had buddies in high school who wrestled. They were constantly starving themselves. They had cauliflower ear. They had ringworm at various points. It looks like a disgusting, miserable pursuit. At what was the moment that it crystallized for you that wrestling was not the future of Will Compton?
I just hated going to practice. Like, I've always enjoyed, like, whatever sport I'm in. I'm always ready to go get with the boys, like, have fun, get better, stuff like that. But I just hated going to practice. I knew it wasn't for me when I was faking being sick to try and not go to practice the next day. Yeah. Like putting applesauce in my mouth and acting like I'm throwing it up so I can look like I'm trying to get out of going to practice. And I remember quitting, and it was awful because, you know, our parents just didn't, like, it was miserable being like, hey, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, I want to go forward with quitting. And just feeling like a disappointment in the household because Cody was always so good at it. He always got first place. I would always get second at state. Like, yeah, that's not bad, but I never won state. And Cody was always just destroying kids. And, like, you know, it was one of those things where I just wanted to play the sports where I was really good at. And football and baseball were those two sports. So I just kind of focused on playing those sports, especially when I got to high school. And then my parents made me do it again my junior year because I didn't go out for baseball like I said I would. You can listen to all that in the episode. But just to save time, I know we only get 20 minutes. But that's how I knew I didn't wrestling wasn't the gig for the boy.
It's such an interesting family dynamic, because I know that's the case for a lot of people. You don't want to tell your parents you want to quit sports because of there is inherent disappointment. Whereas my household, my mom did not understand why I wanted to play football. She's like, why would you waste time with that? You need to be studying. This is so stupid that you just want to go ram your head into other people for 4 hours a day.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. So let's talk about Spencer Lee. And the mindset that it takes to be able to have that kind of performance. Because you all, as professional athletes, you play through things that are unthinkable. I mean, I stub my toe out of bed in the morning. I'm not coming into work. I'm going to do the radio show on Zoom from my living room. I'm not physically doing anything the rest of the day. Whereas this man is winning championships in collegiate wrestling on two torn ACLs. And I did think you missed an opportunity to talk about, like, what made his mental, like, what created that mindset. And as you noted on your own Twitter feed, it's the only reason I bring it up. I did think that was, listen, it's okay. We watch the tape and improve, as Mike Vrabel would say.
Exactly.
But for you to kind of work through that, you're somebody who consistently I see on Instagram, you're reading motivational material. You're constantly looking for ways to focus on the mindset element of that, and I wonder is there a way that you can kind of explain what goes into that as a professional athlete? Because we're going to talk about your co-host from that standpoint as well here in just a second, but I think that's something that's so hard for anybody listening driving around on their lunch break right now to kind of comprehend how big a part that plays in what it is that you guys do.
Yeah, it's a good question. I feel like I missed that opportunity because at times when we dive deep into people's stories, we're talking about, like, we talk about mental stuff and you only have so many stories and experience to pull from your own. And we talk about it enough to where sometimes my brain's just like, you know, should I have fun on this episode or should I dive deep, like, do all that kind of stuff. So great accountability, number one. I'm glad you, you know, exposed me on your radio show.
Well, you can tweet about it like Taylor did.
It'll only make me better. It'll only make me better. You'll make me better from here.
Yeah.
But no, to go off that, like, it was super fascinating hearing about his ACL and him talking about going through it and the protocols he was doing to make sure his knee was fine. Because just on my own experience, I've never, like, played on torn ACLs. I don't know. That'd be interesting to know if somebody has. But for me, like, I tore my PCL and I was back and I was doing the most to get back on the field. I tore my PCL as a grade 2, it was almost a full rupture. And you're just, you know, I was doing whatever possible. Hindsight, I shouldn't have gotten back on the field. I got back on the field in 8 days and finished out the last 3 games of the year. We had a Monday night football game against Carolina, and the backer who filled in for me didn't play that well, missed a lot of adjustments and stuff that would have won us the game. And so I felt like my own self-pressure being like,
you know, getting back, being honorable about getting back on the field and getting back with the boys. And so I was doing absolutely everything I could to get back on the field. I remember taking a stem cell injection straight into my knee, and it was the most painful thing in my life because we didn't have like lidocaine to help it. This wasn't with the Washington football team. This wasn't with their trainers. This is offsite, ground zero at Will Compton's house. So I don't want to say this was the Washington.
Some like backroom medical procedures. You're in a warehouse somewhere in Miami.
Look, you'd be surprised though, like guys getting medical attention and doing stuff off away from the facility to make sure that they're getting taken care of and to get back on the field. But I was back practicing. I remember it was a Friday practice. Bruce Allen and Jay Gruden and the staff and everybody's out there because I'm trying to get cleared to play in Chicago. And it was a Friday practice and I had a brace on and I'm like moving around and like, all right, do you feel good? And I'm like, yeah, I'm like as good as I can feel having a torn PCL and having a brace on. I was hobbling around and it was honestly to get out there and make sure guys are lined up, having adjustments. I think I had one tackle, like I'm taking on pullers and I'm cutting out their knees instead of taking them on physically because I just want to slice out their legs instead of having the battle with my knee. But I finished out the year and it wasn't that good. And I should have never done it, but like the mental that just goes into doing something like that is just like, you want it so badly that you will do whatever it takes. And you understand that, like, how can I be in your own mind, you're brainwashed to think like, how can I be superhuman to do what people don't usually do? Because you look at guys who are injured or guys that don't, who kind of like, you think like, yo, why aren't they playing on this? They should be out there playing. And you just have this taste in your mouth that I'm not going to be that guy. Like, I'm going to do whatever I can to be that tough, to be that gritty, like to be that guy that, because the best ability is availability. So in my head, I always need to be available. And another time having like an AC joint, and you guys, like you'll shoot lidocaine in your shoulder before you go out on the field, guys who have AC sprains or AC joint problems. You'll be stacking pads on your shoulder pads. It'll wear off once you take the first hit, but you're doing whatever you can to numb that thing before you go out there. Some guys play on it, some guys don't. But that's kind of like, I'm assuming Spence being like just a savage that he is, wrestling on two ACLs, he's just wanting to do something that in his mind, he's like, if I can beat these dudes on two torn ACLs, and do, he was living in the training room for 9 hours a day, three-hour sessions. You'll have to listen to it. But like the mental that goes into it is just like that whole wolf mentality that I just kind of gravitate towards, that I just kind of make up in my head, because you need to brainwash yourself in a way to get on the field.
Well, and Will Compton, Bussin' with the Boys, here with us on 104.5 The Zone. We're talking about the latest episode available now. Subscribe, rate, and review with three-time collegiate wrestling champion in his weight class, Spencer Lee, walking through the mindset of an athlete, because this is relevant to what's happening with the local professional football team and your co-host, Taylor. Now, we talked about this. I'm not going to ask you a question and ask you to speak for Taylor. Taylor can speak for himself. We all know that very well. He has plenty of platforms to get out there, as he has done in the past. But, you know, I looked at Taylor in week one, and I think things quickly spiraled for him in a way that he had prepared himself for and amped himself up for, and then physically you're not able to compensate the way that you're not always able to compensate. Sometimes you can mentally will your way through these things, but when in on that particular level, when the scrutiny is so much on you and you're going against somebody like a Chandler Jones who's in a contract year and is wanting to come out and make a statement in those moments, that what people don't understand is that that's prevalent across sports. And an ACL in particular, like the only athlete that I can think of in football recently that's played on an ACL, and it's not been that recent, but Phillip Rivers a couple of years ago played in a playoff game on a torn ACL. Now, quarterback is different than left tackle or linebacker or any of these other positions. But for people who are criticizing him, and there are great many, and I know you see a lot of this because you're on social media the way that we all are, for people that don't understand that about Taylor, what would you say to them to kind of help them understand what it is exactly that they're watching?
Yeah, again, like, you know, I don't want to speak for Taylor. I'm never going to, because I can only pull from my own experience in playing the game and being down bad in certain times. I know this past time I was alluding to the Raiders game, playing when I was on the Raiders and we were playing the Titans, when I got dummied by Saffold. Kari Blasingame caught the ball on me. You know, we were all kind of having fun with it. I was living in it a little bit because it's like, yeah, you can't let people know that you're vulnerable to these types of things. And the boys also on the Titans gave me a game ball for being like a player of the game for them for messing up. So you can only imagine if you don't have fortitude, like if you don't have a wall in your brain to be able to compartmentalize those things, it's very tough to get out of. And I've been like in situations that I've talked about to where I missed two tackles in a row on Thanksgiving. It was the most televised game and national football game of the year. I missed two tackles in a row on Ezekiel Elliott, and people were already kind of chirping at me on the internet. And that's where you got to kind of, that's where I knew in my mind when I missed those two tackles, they score and I come to the sideline. I'm sitting on the bench thinking about what people are saying about me. That's when I personally knew social media had gotten into my psyche. And I was like, I have to find a way out of this. And I'm not saying Taylor's going through that. Again, I am speaking for myself. And those people who are scrutinizing and everything else, like even Taylor, like if I could sit and talk with him, like talking to myself, it's hard to get out of as an athlete because we're so competitive and we want to be the best. But the reality is it hasn't even been a full year on a torn ACL. I know guys bounce back from ACLs, but it usually takes time. Like some guys get back faster than others. Some guys don't feel good for, it takes a year to get back, and then they need a year of competing to even feel good again because they're finding a different way to play and compensating. I know Taylor's spoken about that stuff, but at the same time, Taylor include the athlete. I don't even want to say athletes included. Yeah. Athletes in general that go through this, because I've been in this spot, and people scrutinizing all these people, including the athlete themselves, need to give themselves some compassion, and it's hard to when you're in it, bro, because you're playing on a national level, on a national stage, in front of thousands, millions, whatever, of people that have a microscope on you. And it is hard to perform at that elite level and not think about it. But you have to give yourself some compassion because it's just, it is what it is. And the quicker you can accept that, yo, I'm not who I am. I'm not who I usually am right now. How am I going to find ways to get better from that versus dwelling on it and living in these excuses and thinking about what people saying about you? Because if you do that, you kill yourself. Doubt takes over. You start doubting your abilities, and that wins. That wins. It's the saying I like when that game happened for me against the Titans, and I had all that stuff happen with Roger throwing me to the ground and all this stuff. I took photos with the guys after the game. The Raiders staff and the Raiders players were busting my balls about it. And I was legit feeling like, damn, like, how do I look right now to everybody? I'm laying up at night. And the next day I go into our meeting, my position coach asked me, Will, do you think you played enough for Preston Brown to get cut right now? Because the other linebacker, I split time with him that game. And whoever played worse was going to get cut. I'm lucky I didn't get cut. But he's like, Will, do you think you play well enough to get cut just to add on and pile on all this other stuff? There you go, Lucas. I didn't say the S word. And I'm laying in bed, staying up, and I'm sitting there in that extended stay in Alameda, California, and I'm thinking like, okay, I say all this self, tell this to myself all the time. Nobody cares. Work harder, and also nobody's coming to save you. Because Buck, you can be a friend and you can help me out, and I can have all my best friends, coaches, and everybody saying, "Yo, I got your back. This is gonna be fine." Like at this point, who gives a S word what everyone else is?
It was saying. Close.
You gotta bring all this in, no matter what people are saying to you. No one is laying on your pillow carrying whatever amount of stress you have going on. Nobody is throwing you a life raft that is going to save you. You're going to have to go out and play. Will, you're going to have to pull your stuff together and go out and play. Fortunately, like, you know, I finish out the year strong. I do well. I'm having fun. It's the whole, I had a good self-reflection post on the whole being a wolf thing again, because I'm like, yo, there's times where that stuff is just hard, man. But it's like, you got to pull yourself up out of it. It is a hard thing to do. And I don't want to get away from the fact that you got to give grace and compassion to your own self about the journey you've had up to getting to this point, because it's not going to happen overnight.
My God, I feel this is the first time that Will Compton has spoken to my soul. I want to run through a wall. I feel motivated by this.
It's like I had a lot of fun on this episode of the pod, and I was kind of sitting and reflecting a little more because I talked to one of my old coaches about what he thought of the episode, because he enjoyed it and stuff. He's like, you know, I talked about missing the – getting in deep with why Spencer is the way he is. And I was more so having a little fun with the episode, but I do wish I would have took, I need to get back to a couple serious times, because there is some perspective that people just aren't getting and that everybody included just like needs to have, because it's all going to be okay. The Titans in the second half, I'm sure they're saying, hey, we put together two quarters of football. We're down six quarters right now. But those two quarters we have, those, that's the identity of the Titans. Everybody's going to have that, Taylor included. Like, it's just, you know, everybody – I didn't want to cut you off. I know I'm going off on another tangent. I need to stop and let you talk and compliment.
No, and let you compliment. Yes. Listen, this is when this has been one of your better performances, not just because you, I think, four or five times stopped yourself from cursing on air, which Lucas is sweating back there. I can see it running off of his forehead. But no, it's good perspective, because and we'll wrap it up because we got to get out of here in like 2 minutes. But I've kind of compared it to, you were on the team in 2018, right? Jack Conklin comes back from a torn ACL. Jack Conklin struggles in the first part of the year. And then when Dennis comes in, everybody's praising Dennis Kelly because he looks better than Jack Conklin coming off a torn ACL.
Yes.
It completely lacks the context of how well Jack played in 19 to help that offensive line propel Derek to the season and the run that they ended up having.
Hey, and just real quickly, and you know, when Jack bounced back in 19 and played good ball, you know what he said when I asked him, hey, why do you think, like, you know, what perspective did you have and how'd you bounce back? You want to know what Jack said? He said, I realized football wasn't absolutely everything. Meaning, not that it doesn't mean a lot because it's our job and we're high paid. It's the pressure, the internal pressure you put on yourself in those moments of what everybody else is saying, watching yourself play bad on film, listening to coaches coach you up and everything else going on around you. Just knowing, give yourself some grace and be like, yo, this isn't life or death. Stop putting pressure on myself. Let my body do what it knows how to do.
Will Compton, Bussin' with the Boys. Check out the episode with Spencer Lee. It's great. It's debuting tonight on YouTube at 6 p.m. The audio version available for your commute to or from work, depending on what time it is that you go to or from work. Right now, subscribe, rate, and review. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you, Buck.
All right. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the show. We'll do the polls, and then we'll tell you who's on the show tomorrow, because it's exciting. That's coming up next. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone. Final segment before we get you out of here and over to Blaine and Mickey. I thought, I don't like to give Will Compton that many compliments, but I thought he did a good job today. I thought we really teed it, you know, not to brag on ourselves, but I thought we really teed him up for success, because I do think there's such a wide gulf between what people think about athletes' performance on the field and what athletes are actually going through on the field of play. Gerald Giles is commenting on my attire for today. Sweatshirts and shorts are a thing? Hell yes. What do you mean? This is perfect fall weather. Walked out of my house, it was 63 degrees. This is a dream for anybody who's over 220 pounds like myself.
It's been raining for 4 days.
Well, that I could do without. Oh, it's raining again. Damn it, I just looked outside. That sucks. Anyway, tomorrow, what doesn't suck is, I mean, the radio show never sucks, but tomorrow, it's not going to suck particularly because Harold Landry is going to be on the show. So we'll look forward to having him at 11:15, Titans outside linebacker. And we will also have Rick Venturi, who I don't think anybody's had Rick Venturi on this radio station before, but I've always had Rick on my podcast before the Colts games, because he is their Dave McGinnis, and Rick Venturi is a delight. I warned Lucas that now that I gave him Rick Venturi's number, and now that Rick Venturi has Lucas's number, that he's going to be texting him throughout the course of the Colts and Titans games, because that's what Coach Venturi does. So that will be at 12:20, and it will be exceptional analysis from the Colts version of Coach Mack. So stick around and make sure you're checking that out. And if you missed any of today's show, you can find the podcast in your favorite preferred podcast feed, The Buck Rising Show. Follow, rate, review. Also, install with Greg Cosell. Come out later this afternoon.
Get them all out.
All of them.
UT podcast coming out later this afternoon with Will Bowling and I.
All right, very good. 615 Sessions podcast available to you now. Subscribe, rate, and review. All right, let's do some polls before I plug anything else.
Not now, Jenny. I'm on the radio. Buck Rising gave me a job. Said something about a poll update. Hope that wasn't at that club where you became a folk singer. Anyway, Buck Rising's producer and correspondent has the final poll update. I'm not a smart man, but I know who Lucas Panzeca is.
By the way, speaking of not sucking, a 7-7 today given to us by Spencer.
That doesn't suck. I'll take that.
It does not suck. Does the result of Bama versus Florida make you think college football is wide open this season? 74% are still saying no.
Yeah, and I get that, right? Because that everybody else is looking at that kind of the same way that I am, where I'm just hopeful that it's not an open and shut case. Bama wins at the end of it all, and looking at that as, okay, maybe they're just down bad for three quarters, and that's the only time that they'll look like that the rest of the year. So I get why the majority of the audience, the vast majority of the audience, is still thinking that way.
Well, they always flash some weaknesses at one point or another during a season, and it never lingers. Now, the worrying thing for them is that they play Ole Miss in just 2 weeks, and Ole Miss has a bye week to prepare. Good thing is it's in Tuscaloosa, but that kind of stuff never lingers down the stretch. It's not, oh, their run defense sucks. They're not going to win the SEC.
Yeah, they're just too damn good. They're too deep. They're too good. Of course, the coach himself is too experienced in this regard. I want to find ways to make this college football season not seem inevitable, because that's people's biggest complaint about the NBA, right? While the Warriors were winning the titles, the championship was already decided, right? It was going to be Warriors, Cavs, or Warriors and whichever team LeBron's playing for at the end of the year. And I hated that, because that's not what it is at all, except in college football it really does feel that way.
Well, the good thing is we have no idea who the second best team in the country is. Maybe it's Georgia.
God.
Don't think it's Clemson. Don't think it's Ohio State. Doesn't look like it's Oklahoma.
Listen, everybody who's
Oregon. I don't know.
Honestly, Oregon. I would love to see that. Alabama, Oregon at the end of the year. But
that would be cool.
What I'll say to you is ESPN should actively root for it not to be Georgia, because if they get an SEC, SEC national championship, I mean, they're already fighting ratings problems. Because the sports regional, you've already isolated, that's not the word that I'm looking for. You lose such a big chunk.
Only half the country.
Of the television, more than half the country. You lose everybody that's not invested in the Southeast, you know?
Nobody wants to watch a rematch of the SEC championship, and I get that.
And even Clemson, Alabama, we saw it four times. It's enough already. So for the sake of intrigue, my God, somebody else besides a Southeastern team, as much as we all love football down here.
And before people come at us, people here want to watch that. People on the West Coast don't want to watch that.
Do people even here? I mean, really?
Last time those two played in the national championship, it was one of the best college football playoff games I can remember.
What, Clemson and Alabama?
No, Alabama-Georgia.
What year was that?
Was when it was the 2017 season, 2018, January 2018. Tua came in as a true freshman.
Oh, that's right.
Smith in overtime. Georgia blew it.
You're right. It was an exciting game, but the numbers were terrible.
Yeah, exactly.
Comparatively.
Because people in Colorado and in California don't want to see that.
What do I care? Yeah.
Who you got, Bud Dupree or Jadeveon Clowney?
Oh, I didn't even get to these today.
Yeah, about 800 votes. 97% say Dupree.
Teresa Walker, God bless her, has texted me. The word that you're looking for is alienate. Thank you, Queen.
There you go.
We appreciate you listening.
Happy late birthday.
Did I not? Okay, very quickly. We don't know what birthday it is, nor will we betray that kind of confidence. But a very happy belated birthday to Teresa Walker.
And happy birthday to him. I don't care. Good luck.
Lucas, we've talked about this. You're supposed to fade it down when we wish a woman a happy birthday. You're supposed to fade it down when you do it again. Do it again.
And happy birthday to
her.
I don't care. Good luck.
All right, bravo. just a little extra from you there when it's just out of respect.
Let's do this Dupree Clowney thing tomorrow, because I know there's some stuff to get into there.
All right, very good. The correct answer is Bud Dupree, but we'll spend some time on the pressure stats that came out yesterday that would skew things in favor of Jadeveon Clowney.
And who do the Colts start on Sunday? Jacob Eason, Carson Wentz, or Brett Hundley? 81% say Eason, 12% say it's Wentz, 7% say Hundley. Puka says a guy off the street.
No boot for Wentz today at the podium, but he didn't practice. Worth keeping an eye on. We'll continue the conversation about the Titans and the Colts, but for me, you'll have to wait until tomorrow, because Blaine and Mickey are up next.